Father, as we come to you on this day, Lord, it has a deeper meaning than many of us really realize. And we thank you for this day, Lord, even though it's not a day that Christians are proud of. It's not a day, Father, that we look at with great joy, even though we should. But it's the day we recognize of the crucifixion of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Father, tonight that we would be focused on the cross, what it really means to us, and, Father, what we can mean to this world that so badly needs you. Lord, you know all the needs that are represented by these gathered here tonight. I ask you to bless them. Minister to those that couldn't be here, Father, for whatever reason. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he travels. Father, I pray you would just open up to us tonight a brand new meaning of what this season is really all about. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm going to have to do a responsive reading, and I selected number 667. You'll find them in the back of the hymnal. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? And what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May he add his blessings to the reading of his word. When I was asked to do this, I thought, what am I going to talk about? I have never in my life done a Good Friday service. In fact, I can never remember being at a Good Friday service. But the Lord, as usual, came through and said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So he sent me to Matthew chapter 16. And I'll be reading from verses 21 through 25. You can follow me if you would like. In fact, I would encourage it. And this is what we find there. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is foretelling what's about to happen to him. He's predicting his own future. And yet, knowing it, he's willing to go through with it. For if you remember, he prayed twice even, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he went back And he prayed again the same thing. If it's possible, let it pass. But if not, then let your will be done. I want to submit to you tonight the idea that Friday, Good Friday as we call it, is the road to Sunday. Without the cross, there would be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would be no basis for having faith. So Friday will lead us into Sunday. And us, just like everybody else in the world, when Easter time comes around, we're all about the resurrection. There's very little said about the cross, except he was crucified on a cross. We know the story, seen the passion plays and all this. But as followers of Jesus, we need to focus on the cross that Jesus hung on. Why? We don't like to look at the cross. To us, it's offensive as Christians because they killed our Savior on it. It's not a real pretty thing to look at, is it? And it doesn't bring back pleasant memories. So why should we focus on it? Well, I'll tell you why we should focus on it. Jesus said over in John's Gospel, and you don't have to go there, in chapter 12, these words. He says, the hour has now come, or the time has now come, for the man of God to be glorified, the Son of God to be glorified. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it then produces many seeds. The people who stood around Jesus, who walked with him, who talked with him, had no idea what he was talking about. Who cares about a grain, a little kernel of wheat falling on the ground? That's not what he was saying. He was talking about himself. He was saying, unless I go through with this, everything's vain. Can you imagine where we would be today had he not gone through with it? Could he have called legions of angels to come down and take him and get rid of everybody that was about to kill him? Sure he could have. But he didn't. He went willingly to that cross, knowing what he was facing. He still went through with it. I wonder how many of us, if we knew what tomorrow held, would be willing to face it. That's why you don't know. But Jesus knew. He went on through with it. And he told these people, unless I do this, everything's vain. Everything. If you can discount the resurrection of Jesus Christ, prove it really never happened, then all Christianity is nothing. We're serving somebody who lived on the earth, died on a cross, and is still in the ground. But such is not the case. For on the third day, the earth shook, the stone moved, the guards fell out like they were dead, and Jesus rose, and he was alive. But as we talked earlier in the Tuesday morning class, nobody believed it. Not even the Christians believed it. He was on the cross. We saw him. We saw him give it up. We know he was dead. They just took him and they hid him. They don't want us to find his body. Even the two ladies that went down there first went to put spices on him, to anoint him. They didn't go believing he was resurrected. It finally took the angels telling them, hey, remember he said this was what was going to happen. And he went to atone not for what he had done, but for what we had done. He took our place. We should have been on that cross, not him. But he says, nope, this is my Father's will. This is what he wants done. This is how he wants to run salvation. This is what I am going to do. It may cost me my life, but I am going to go to that cross willingly. So why should we focus on that cross? Well, it wasn't just the people of Jesus' day that has a hard time looking at that cross. We have a hard time today looking at it. We want to rush Jesus into heaven as quick as we can get him there. He's resurrected. Let's get him in heaven. Get on with this thing. But Jesus said, slow down a minute. There's something to be said for the cross. Religious-minded people wondered, how could somebody so intellectually intelligent slip up and be caught and crucified? People who saw all the powerful miracles that he did, they wondered, how could somebody with all this power all of a sudden be so weak? Because he submitted to the Father's will. He went along with what the Lord wanted to do. And it took Good Friday, if you will, to get to Sunday. Friday, this Friday, means the beginning of change. How's that? Well, it provides us an opportunity to make this statement. Once you've been to the cross, everything changes. Stumbling blocks, foolishness, turn into power and wisdom. Easter's about the empty tomb, isn't it? But first, it's about the cross. Don't be in a hurry to rush Jesus to heaven. Jesus demonstrated faith through all of his circumstances. Can we be honest for a minute? Can this group right here and myself, can we be honest with each other? Anybody here ever said, God promises to never forsake me? Do you believe it? Do you truly believe it? Sometimes we feel like he does forsake us, don't we? Even he on the cross uttered two sayings. One is, why have you forsaken me? And the other was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, how do those two things go together? Well, it's kind of like this. His faith, his power, his wisdom is what took him to the cross. His belief in his Father. So obviously the question to ask right now would be then, what takes you to the cross? What takes me to the cross? Is it my faith? I don't have any power without him. I don't have any wisdom without him. I may have some worldly smarts, but what good are they in a Christian realm? You can't have both. You can't play both sides of the fence, folks. You're either one or the other. There is no in between. Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection. It's one thing to predict it, but it's a totally different thing to follow through and go through with it. Death is still death, but it was his trust in his Father that got him through it. And that's what that cross is all about over there. It's trusting in the Father. Easter, yes, is about the resurrection. That's what everybody wants to celebrate. But don't lose sight of the cross. Because I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Without the cross, there is no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no faith. So, it's because of his willingness for him to go to the cross that we can be forgiven of our sins. We think we have it tough. He had it worse than we did. It's because of his resurrection that we have assurance that our faith is not in vain. And it's also that we have a promise that one day he will come back for those who are watching and waiting and ready for him. Friday is the road to Sunday. Do not discount Friday and the cross.